Welcome, everyone, to the Corkstop Podcast.
A podcast where we have two goals: to celebrate human quirks and make human connection. We are your hosts. My name is Carly Jean Donovan Lewis, a.k.a. KJ. Whoa, that's a lot of A-A-A-A-A.
A-K-A-K-J. Yeah, cool.
I'm here with my little brother.
What's up, my dudes? My name's Cade. No. Let's freaking quirk it. All right, time for
thoughts.
The thoughts of the pockets.
Awesome.
Who went first last time? Does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
Do people keep tabs? Fine, I'll go first. Okay. It can't be just me who gets super anxious in movies when someone, like, there's a conversation happening in a car, and the driver's just looking at the person next to them for like 10 or 15 seconds, and I'm like, watch where you're going. Dude,
watch the road.
Some actors get it better than others with kind of a more realistic like road check as they're talking, but some of them will just straight like, come on.
Oh, this makes me think of watching Singing in the Rain, you know, and there are several scenes where you can see the behind the scenes workings of a production, a movie production studio of that time.
Yeah.
And they walk past like a scene where cowboys are fighting on the train, and the scenery is just like on a big roll.
Yep.
Going behind them.
Anyway. Classic.
Yes. My powers of observation are not strong, and that's not something that I have particularly noticed.
Well, I think I just mentioned on the last episode, I've been in a car accident, and so it adds to driving anxiety. And if you can't tell, I'm not well, but I'm here and I have half my voice. So,
what does that have to do with driving anxiety?
I just wanted to give a disclaimer. I have an attention deficit disorder, and so
okay,
it pops just, in, and here it comes.
Just checking it. It sounded like you were trying to relate them, so I was just
no,
just checking.
No.
My pocket thought today is that I wish there was a food equivalent of water. Like, as far as fluids, water provides everything that our bodies need. It's naturally accessible. If you live in a blessed place I know water access is hard for some people in the world, but what if there was just one food that was naturally occurring that gave your body all the nutrition it needed?
Can you imagine?
You could drink other fun things. And we could still eat other fun things, but it would be so nice to not have to use so much. Just have that to
fall back on.
No, not so much brain power.
Go to the mountains, to the food spring, and pick it, or pluck it, or
just
dig it up.
Wouldn't that be awesome? A naturally occurring, perfectly nutritious food.
I'm down.
I was just wishing for that.
Okay.
Yep. That's my pocket thought.
All right, folks, we have with us today Bedford Dorr. It is spelled D-O-R-T. The T is silent. He and his wife, Chelsea, have a wonderful Instagram page called Life with the Dorrs. Again, D-O-R-T. We can go check them out. We interviewed his wife, Chelsea, first, actually. And she was supposed to release this week, but I've had some serious technical issues with that episode and trying to get possession of it, basically. So we decided to release Bedford's episode instead. It's our first husband and wife duo, I think, that we've done, especially back to back. So that is fun. And Chelsea did a shout out to us shortly after her interview last week. So if any of you saw that and you are excited to hear from Chelsea, still be excited. She's coming. But without further ado, we had a great conversation with Bedford and hope you guys enjoy it. There he is. Howdy.
All right. How's it going?
Good. We're so excited to have you here, Bedford. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Yeah.
What did Chelsea say behind the scenes?
Oh, she loved it. She was having a good old time. So as soon as she jumped off, she was like, yeah, that's going to be fun. You're going to have a good time. So I'm like, yeah, hooray.
Awesome. <That's good. laughs> And then we've been cursed and her file has given us a hard time.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Well, do you have any questions for us before we just jump in?
No, I'm.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, okay. Why not? I've listened to the podcast a little bit, so I was like, this is great.
Good.
And I saw funny videos of you dancing at the gym with your headphones in today. So it's the only way. I do the same thing.
My wife makes fun of me every day for that. She's like, dude, you got to stop. I'm like, no, I don't. Let me Never. Live in my world.
Leave me alone.
I love it.
So you two went through the questions together. You're familiar with them, right?
We didn't do it together, but I am familiar with them. So she was like, hey, there's questions. And so I actually looked at them about 35 minutes ago because that's how I do it. So
hey, that's how I do it.
Last minute panic is the best mood for performance, right? All right. So where and in what year were you born?
I was born in 1987 in Logan, Utah.
Logan. All right.
So
close.
Yeah, not very exciting, but
I was born in Logan too.
Oh, really? There you go.
Fun fact.
Same hospital.
Probably.
There's only one.
There's one. Yeah, probably the same hospital.
What was something interesting that happened in the year that you were born? 1987.
So 1987, the coolest thing that happened was Michael Jackson's Bad had dropped that year, right? So that's legendary, and I'm going to own that for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. I had a four-year-old that was very Michael Jackson obsessed after seeing Despicable Me 3. And, you know, the villain is – yeah, so we've listened to a lot of that song in particular at our house.
Our two-year-old just went through that phase. She just loved watching him dance and do all the stuff. Oh, yeah. She'd be like, a Michael Jack? And she can't even say the whole name. She's like, absolutely, let's pull it up.
Yes.
I love it.
Okay, so then what is your very first memory?
So my very first memory, it's kind of hazy, but it's growing up, we lived in an apartment complex, and I only remember the stairs of the apartment complex, and I remember my little sister trying to go up the stairs and me freaking out. And so I have to be like maybe two or three, and we're 18 months apart, so I'm not even sure how she could travel. And so I wonder if I put her on the stairs, but I remember like losing my mind and going to get my mom and being like, baby's on the stairs. And I think I got in trouble. So actually it might be that I put her on the stairs, but that's the only thing I remember. That's
but
the
you
first
saved
thing
her
I remember.
Too. It sounds like. Yeah.
Heroic mission.
You were both the catalyst and the solution. That's awesome. I have a super random story, not to make it about me, but we had a dog when I was probably 8 or 9, and I both wanted to feed her hot dogs because she loved hot dogs, and I always felt bad that she was chained up, like we had her outside on a chain. So one day I took a hot dog out to her homemade dog house, and I was sitting in there with her golden retriever, and I gave her a hot dog and I undid her leash. And she just, she took off down the street. And then I had to go in the house and be like, babe is gone. I'm sorry. I let her go. I don't know why. So, anyway.
So you were the catalyst. Were you the solution?
We had to drive around. I think we had to go. We took a whole pack of hot dogs. Everyone was marching around town with a hot dog in their hand trying to get the dog back.
What a solution.
Full pack of Oscar Myers just running around.
That's right.
That'll do it. What is something kooky you did when you were a kid?
Oh, I don't know that there was anything like ultra kooky that I did. I know my mom's always talked about, like, I always left cabinets open, and that is something that my wife still talks about. Like, I'm the guy that she's like, what were you looking for? I'm like, how do you know I was looking for anything? And she's like, look at the kitchen. It's like, oh, yeah.
Poltergeist. Yeah.
I do the same thing. I was so bad in college. College was 15, 16 years ago. My old roommates will still send me pictures of their kitchens when their kids leave. They're like, it's like you're here.
Just thinking of
memories
you.
Memories of you.
I miss you.
And then so, you walk into the kitchen without looking. Yeah.
And yeah, well, when you're, 6 foot something.
I was going to say, I've been hit in the face with the cabinet door that I've left open before.
Yeah, you got to watch it. So the follow-up to the question is, has it followed you into adulthood? So apparently we know the answer to that.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Excellent.
I love it.
Are there any stories about you as a kid that live in family legend?
Probably the only story that I can think of is just My mom never lets me forget that my little sister, the same one that was on the stairs, got potty trained before me. And so, and now she's a doctor and I'm not. So, like, she's just add consistently insult injury. Better at life than me.
Right. So. Thanks a lot.
Well, to be we fair, have different apparently gifts. Girls are just smarter as little people yeah. than boys are. They talk faster. They're potty trained faster. So, anyway, statistically.
You have sons and daughters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have two sons and one daughter, and we have followed that trend. She is like, my daughter just picks everything up really fast, and my boys are smart. They're not interested in learning it that fast. They're like, I'm fine.
They're smart.
This is she works, wife.
Okay.
Fast forwarding in life a little bit. What would you say was the most awkward thing about you when you were a teenager?
I think the most awkward thing about me as a teenager has to be how cool I thought I was. Like when Same. I go back and look at some of the pictures of the clothes that I wore and just yeah. how awesome I knew that I was and how awesome everybody else probably never thought I was. Like it's just, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But
I feel that one too.
Yeah. I just look back and I'm like, there's no way.
What was your look as a teen?
I 100% as a teen had every jersey.
Yeah.
And I still like wearing them to games and stuff, but I had like, I'm trying to think, like every random jersey you could think of, just tons of them all over the place. Backwards cap, the massive baggy oh, yes. jeans, because that was a thing. And then the jean shorts that went to like mid chin.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, the jerseys are huge, right? Like, they go down past your thighs.
Oh, the jerseys are massive. Oh, yeah. I look like Nelly in the 2000 videos. Like, it was...
You yeah. sound really cool.
I thought I was, and now I look back, and I'm like, I wonder if anybody else did. Like, I think it might have just been me.
Was there anybody?
Cade's version of the jerseys and jeans was the emo hair. He would use my straightener. To straighten his bangs down into his face. Yeah.
I thought no one knew, too. I would like...
Oh, it was a secret?
You know, I thought I was outsmarting everyone, and I just had cool hair, you know? Naturally. I also like to roll my window down and blast metal past the seminary building to let them know that I was rebellious.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So.
You guys are so cool.
You ever think
cool.
back of the music back then? Like every now and again, I'll start listening to some of the old songs and just be like, yeah, no wonder I was angry. Like Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, like Dr. Dre and Eminem, every one of those were not happy individuals.
Yeah, we were musically conditioned to be unhappy. Absolutely.
Like one of my Linkin favorite bands Park, are, I was like, they're, yeah, yeah, some of their stuff lyrically is actually quite dark if you look into it, you know. But even on their first two albums, the best ones, if you ask me, because I'm a bit of a gatekeeper. But
I'm with you.
Anyway,
I'm with you.
I had a thought, but it left me. I love it. So
it's all right. We're going to talk about music more later.
Okay. Yes, we are. It's my turn. Let's see.
Cade lost a spot.
When you were a teenager, what did you think your life would look like as an adult?
Oh, man. So I always say this, like, if you would have told me how much money I would have made as a teenager, I would have been thrilled. But if you would have told me how far that money would go, I would have been heavily disappointed. And I think I think my life actually looks pretty similar to as a young teenager, I was supposed to be like 6'8 and in the NBA, and that never turned out. I'm like 5'9. Like my parents aren't 6'8. I don't know where I got 6'8 from. I think so that never worked out. But then yeah, I think I'm doing really well compared to my goals. And then I'm like, it's not going as far as I would. So
that's not your fault. That's inflation and society.
Inflation.
That's not your
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I love the memes where it's like Karen in 1980 with $20 worth of groceries on her way back to her $20 house, you know, and it's like, holy cow, I can go buy like a gallon of milk and a couple apples and it's $20. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Don't get me started.
I was listening. Oh, yeah. I get hot on it because I was listening to a comedian. I'll have to send it to you guys. But essentially he was just telling people, like, It's like, it used to be back in the day, like some guy would own a beach house in California and it was like, what's your job? He's like, I'm a librarian. And I'm like,
yeah. Seriously? Oh my gosh.
I paid 11 what raspberries for it.
Yeah.
I might be jumping ahead. What is it you do for a living, Bedford?
So I sell software.
Okay.
Sell software. And in fact, I'm actually looking for a different thing. I'm going to change things up in life. So we'll see if I continue doing that or if I do something more fun. Because
I love that. One of our guests that I most admired in this way, he has been a classical musician his whole adult life, like in his 40s. And he's like, I want to be an accountant. And he went back to school and like total 180 switch, decided to do something different. So I admire that you recognize that. And, you know, we're in our 30s. And I remember thinking that you're supposed to have life totally figured out. Like, but you can still switch it up. And I think that's amazing.
That's kind of wild. So what are you aiming for, anything in particular?
That's the scary part is I'm trying to figure that out. And obviously, you know, we've got kids and stuff. And so we want to make whatever transition we make, we want to do it in a smooth and smart fashion, right? Because I don't want to tank all of my kids' future just so I can live the dream, right?
It's so I can be on Broadway. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think that's the dream.
I don't think that's it. So we'll figure it out. But yeah, that's literally a thing in flux right now. We're going to keep it.
Right.
We're figuring it out. So
in flux.
I admire that. Being married to somebody who really loves what he does, he is passionate about what he does, it makes a big difference. So I hope that you're able to find that fire for yourself, because it makes everybody's life better. So that's awesome.
Well, thank you. I hope so too. Appreciate it.
All right. Kate, I interjected that question. So you pick us back up.
Oh, man. Let's see. Yeah. What do you do for a living? So then what is something you have created that you're very proud of?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So I'm probably the only person on this earth that's proud of what I created. But back maybe 8 years ago, me and my wife were broke. I'm finishing up college, and I decided to rebuild an old Audi that I found for $600. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend the summer. I just finished school. I'm going to spend the summer in the garage. We're going to rebuild this car. And I did, and it ran, and it was wonderful. And I love that car, and I had to sell it, and I was really, really sad. And if you looked at like a 1998 Audi station wagon, it's an A4 Avant. I love it. Nobody on
1994.
Earth. 1994. 1998. B5 Avant. That's my baby. And I have to get another one. Like I still to this day, I've sold it like 8 years ago. I'm like, why did I do that? I built it myself.
Which is an impressive endeavor.
Yeah. It ran for a while too. I was like excited about it. So
had you, I mean, obviously you're mechanically minded, but had you done anything like that? Oh,
I had never done anything like that. It was literally just I think it'd be fun to try, and went to YouTube University to figure it out. And
absolutely.
I think that's why I loved it though, is because it was just so weird, so random for me to do, and it worked. And then now it's gone. And if there was anything I could redo, it's like, I maybe got like $800 when I sold it.
And like, it's gone.
Yeah, I would easily play double just to get it back.
Right. That's awesome. Mm. What was you said you had just finished college. What was your degree in?
So I got a degree in business management and a minor in marketing. So not at all mechanics or anything.
Nothing
like that.
Nothing related. Maybe that's, you needed a break from all of that. Your brain needed to do something different.
Just something with my hands.
Get into the engine. Yeah. I've never done anything like that. So
it's super fun, super scary. I would never do it and have to rely on the car.
My father-in-law bought a brand new Ford Escort in 1999 or 2000. It is still running with over 500,000 miles, and he has done all of the maintenance and repairs himself.
And that's like, his baby then.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, it's
because he works.
Sent the whole family a text the day it rolled over to 500,000 miles.
He's like confetti. Yeah.
All the kids have moved out, but his baby is still there.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's like, what is a Honda Civic?
It's a Ford
Escape. You said,
Escape. The little bitty one where you're eating your knees when you sit in it. Yeah, because there's no leg.
He works an hour away from home, right? So every day for 30-something years.
Does he drive it every day, too?
Every day. Yeah. Okay.
I could have been that guy.
You could, you still could. Just keep going. Bedford, if you came with a warning label, what would it say? Up to three warnings.
If I came with the warning label, probably the first thing that I'd say is that I'm going to ask, Bedford's liable to ask questions about whatever's weird in the room.
Give us an example.
So, I'm trying to think. Okay, well, one time we're at Walmart and our checker, wonderful lady, super kind, but she was wearing a dog collar. And I just had to find out what was going on. And my wife immediately saw it and was like, don't you dare. And I was like, I can't not. So I just asked her and said, hey, nice necklace. I love it. What's going on with it? And she was like, it's not a necklace. It's a collar. And I was like, I was aware. I was just using a nicer word,
you know.
Yeah. And so, I just always want to know. And so even if it's like, oh, and if you have a tattoo, I'm asking you about your tattoo.
I love that.
Every time. Tell me a story. And it better not be lame. Like, I want to know what it means.
I have asked before and had people be like, I just liked it. I was like, oh, that's disappointing. Yeah, that's
cool. Well, you just put that permanently on there. Do you still like it? What's going on?
It's coffee in Vietnamese. And I love coffee.
Has several, and he is painstaking about the process of choosing what he wants. Like, he has like Stonehenge from a bird's eye view, and
a homogeneous skull with the measurements on it, and just like very.
But he loves when people ask him, because he's like, this is a way to start a conversation and get to know somebody new. Anyway,
well, and I think too, like, for the people that know why they did it. Like, I love hearing their thoughts, like, and understanding their train of thought. The only reason I don't have a tattoo is because I don't think I can commit to anything.
Yeah.
Like, so I want to know what you're so passionate about that you can commit to it on your body forever, pretty much. So.
Right. I love that. Okay. Sorry. I interrupted you after warning one. What are your other two warnings on your warning label?
Other two warnings on my warning label.
Unless you don't have any others.
I don't think I have any others. I'm sure my wife is probably listening like, yeah. that would be the number one.
I'm sure our partners all would assign us different warning labels than we would assign ourselves. Yeah, probably.
I've just found the new one to assign myself, and it is, I will go through your cabinets to look for sugar the second I'm in your house.
Like treats and...
So,
don't ever invite Kate over. So, okay.
If you do, make sure you got some cupcakes or something. Let's see. what is something you're very passionate or excited about in general?
Okay. Recently, I have picked up golf, and I absolutely love it and hate it at the same time. There's nothing more hard and more rewarding. And I don't have enough time to be good at it because I have like work and family.
And yeah.
Super passionate about playing, and then at the same time, it drives me insane. Like, I leave just angry all the time.
Yeah, but you gotta try again, right?
Golf is one of those things that seems incredibly intimidating to pick up. It's just such a precise, intense, time-intensive sport.
It is.
I think you're right, and I think maybe that might tie back to my, like, maybe another warning. Like, I'm liable to jump before I think. Right? So I looked at golf and was like, that looks easy. You could be old and play that forever. And now I'm like, no, you can't. It's not easy. Like, just because I can throw a basketball or a football or whatever, that doesn't transfer at all. So
it's a totally different set of skills.
Yeah, I saw
that's awesome. It's
just a skit that you see on the internet. And there's a guy who's like, well, this has been a bum day. You know, they're out on the green. He's like, I'm just going to hit this one last ball. And he just thwacks it. And it goes right up to the hole. Like, it's so close. And he turns around to his friends and he goes, I'm going to spend the rest of my life chasing that feeling right there. And they just silently walk up to him and shake his hand. Like, welcome. Yes.
Well, that's really how it is. Like, you spend the whole day mad, and then one thing good happens and you're like, I'll be back.
I'm the best. I'm the best at this game.
The only time I've ever been excited about golf is watching The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Great movie.
And what's the golf movie that has the easy peasy lemon squeezy quote? It's got Shia LaBeouf in it.
That's Bagger Vance.
Is that Bagger Vance? Anyway, great golf movies.
The greatest game ever played.
Bagger Vance is Will Smith. There we go.
Yeah, greatest game ever played.
I haven't even caught up on all the old golf movies. This is how new this is to me. So,
well, if you're in the mood to love golf, those two movies are great.
Okay, so, I guess that's the answer
to the next question. What's something you enjoy that you wish you were better at? Also golf, question mark?
100%. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I can see you like getting worked up about it. It's fun.
I played this morning and it didn't go well. Like,
I'm so sorry.
But that's normal. It's not like my wife will be like, "Hey, my friends told me you played well." And it's like, well, relative. Still missed every single one of my goals, I think. So.
Just so you know, we told Chelsea that she should come with you and at least like bring books and a snack so that you can hang out.
I really want that to happen. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
If you talk to her again, do it again.
Okay, will do. Send her a reminder.
Send her a text.
Total topic switch. What is a smell that is nostalgic for you, and what are the memories that it brings up?
So, as a kid, I grew up and I always had like terrible asthma, sinuses, like congestion. So I'm like blind to most smells.
Interesting.
I'm not a big smell guy. So even to this day, like, I still get real congested, but it has to be like really smelly for me to catch on. And so,
okay.
That's like maybe like a weird thing about me that like I'm not smell first. I'm like taste, touch, all the other senses, but smell is like the last thing I consider.
So what, because smell, the reason we love this question is smell is psychologically attached to your memories. Like they're really, so what sense for you brings back the most vivid memories if it's not smell?
It'd have to be probably taste. Like anything that, my family's Haitian, so any Haitian food always takes me back to like just growing up and eating some of the random things that nobody else ate as a kid, because both of my parents came from Haiti. They moved to Utah, and so all my meals growing up were so different than the, like, even mac and cheese. My mom threw spinach in there, and I think I was like 15 when I had mac and cheese without spinach, like the regular Kraft kind.
You're like, where's this
garbage?
It's like, guys, this is incredible. What's going on?
Well, I have to ask you, one of my dearest friends is married to a guy who grew up in Haiti, and he's been on the podcast, and his favorite food was goat blood tacos. Did your parents ever? Okay.
No.
Ask him. I'm curious.
Apparently, you can just fry the blood, and it grits up a little bit. The blood itself.
You reduce the blood, and it gets into – anyway, that was his favorite food. But
I have had the goat blood. I have not had it in the taco, though. So, yeah. When you describe it, I'm like, 100% I've had that. But
that's awesome. Yeah, their family has, like, they had, like, 8 baby goats that they eat goat regularly still. So, anyway, that's funny. Okay.
Let's see. What is the dumbest way you've been injured or injured yourself?
Okay, so... This one's stupid, but
that's the point. So love it.
It's maybe 2 injuries. So I tore my meniscus playing volleyball, and you know, with the meniscus tear, you think you could still do everything, and 95% of the time you can, and then all of a sudden it hurts, and you're like, I can't. So it took me like 8 months to get surgery, and when I did, the doctor said, "Hey, whatever you do, I want you to be on your feet as soon as possible, and I want you to be moving your legs so that you get blood in circulation." And so I'm like, bet. I want to get better. I'm a relatively active person. I have surgery on Thursday. Friday, I think there was like a parade. It was in the middle of summer, and I'm walking it with my friends. And, you know, I'm over here trying to shoot some free throws. I'm limping around. I just had surgery. And so I go back a week later to my follow-up appointment. My knee is huge. And he was like, what have you been doing? He's like, you said to get on it as much as you can. I was like, I've been on it. He's like, are you serious? Like, yeah. He's like, well, normally I say that and nobody actually does it. And it's like, your knee is twice as big as it should be. And I'm like, I'm aware. He's like, doesn't it hurt? He's like, yeah. And it's like, you didn't. And so I got chastised for listening to the doctor about my recovery.
That is making me hurt. I tore my ACL, my MCL, and my meniscus all at once. Oof. And so, yeah, don't learn to ski as an adult. It's not great.
Right.
So hearing you talk through the, I'm just like hurting over here just thinking about that.
So then did he just tell you to stay off it? What was the follow-up?
I couldn't even. So he like literally said, actually, look, we're going to have to walk this back. You can't walk, period, for the next 2 weeks. And then okay. I had to go to a follow-up site. And he was like, jeez. I'm worried that you probably have re-damaged everything because when I literally didn't even, like, I got home, was like, all right, guys, we got to walk. So,
yeah, yeah. Maybe he changed his approach after that, hopefully.
Not used to people listening with such gusto.
Yeah, I was all for it. And that's the dumbest way that I hurt myself because it really hurt. And I was just like, it's fine. I'll get better if I tough it out.
This is what they told me to do.
Yeah.
Oh, what is some really bad advice that you have received during your life, and what would your rebuttal be now?
This one I got to think through. Really bad advice I've received.
And if you don't have an answer, that's okay.
I might not on that one. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to surround myself with people that give me decent advice. But
yeah, right.
Good practice. Well, we can skip it. Let's skip it. Mm-hmm. What is a lighthearted, unpopular opinion that you have?
Ooh, a lighthearted, unpopular opinion. I don't like Star Wars.
Sir. Explain now.
It's a good answer.
It is.
Everybody loves it. And growing up, I just must have missed that ship. Like, I just didn't get it.
Pun intended.
And so, yeah, like, so Star Wars, and maybe it was because, again, I grew up in a different household. So we didn't grow up watching the old movies or anything like that. I had to catch up later.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. The first couple of times it was like, why are we watching these ancient movies? And I never, like, I'm going back through them right now with my son. And oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, there is something to it because we went to Disneyland recently and Star Wars World is the coolest place ever. Like, it's insane.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah.
It's incredible. The builds are crazy. For me, I'm like, they did all this for Star Wars and I need to figure out why I don't have a good relationship with that. So I'm working on it, but truth is, I'm not there. I don't get it.
My husband loves Star Wars, but he will tell you it ties back to being a kid. Like, it's a nostalgia thing for him, 1,000%. Yeah.
Well, that's where I'm at. It's a troubled franchise because you have the classic three. The first one, I think it's A New Hope, is actually a terribly boring movie. Not a lot happens, you know? And then you have the Empire Strikes Back and whatever they're called. I can't even tell you. You know, the whole story of Luke and Vader and Palpatine, and that really sets up this awesome story. And then the prequels came along, 1, 2, and 3.
Awful.
And at the time, were just not well received because they were kind of out there, kind of nerdy, whatever. The CGI was corny. Now they're considered absolute classics. Apparently, I have a soapbox. I didn't even know this.
Apparently, you do. We're just nodding and smiling.
You know it.
But then I love it. Freaking Disney bought it. And did episode 7. 7 was actually a lot of fun and had this great setup. And then they beat it down and they shot it in the head and just kept kicking it and kicking
Kate
it.
Kate has feelings about
and
this.
Kicking it. So episodes 8 and 9 were trash and every show that's come out after has been trash. And so it's like, I both love it for the nostalgic factor and but what they're doing now is garbage. So
who doesn't love swinging a lightsaber around? I mean, come on.
It's got iconic. All the right pieces, honestly. Like, it really does.
And yeah.
I'm actually going back through it with my second son. We kind of started watching it, but I did it wrong because I watched the episodes in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to lose him. So
you might. I love old movies, and we, because of this, just because I'm the mom and I can, we have a rule in our house. On Sundays, they can't watch anything newer than 1999. And so we have watched like stuff from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they just know, yeah, we can watch a movie, but it has to be.
It has to be old.
That's awesome.
And so we have exposed them to all sorts of, I mean, they were, what, do you guys remember like Flight of the Navigator from when we were kids?
Yes, I do.
Did you guys watch that one? Anyway, yeah. just crazy, insane, dumb, fantastic movies. Anyway, highly recommend.
Back in the day.
We went back and we've been watching like Matilda on repeat in the minivan. Such a good movie.
So good.
Like, they don't make them like they used to. So
you don't like Star Wars. Okay. That is an unpopular. Well,
I mean, we just talked about it for 10 minutes. So yeah, that's a good
thing. I don't even 10 minutes.
Don't get me started on Lord of the Rings. Like I'm that's unpopular as well. I gotta figure these things out. I'm sorry. But
Aragorn was my first book crush. Yeah.
Just have to toss that in there like it wasn't going to matter.
Cade's leaving.
So we're going to switch back over to music. Tell us about your top three musical artists right now, over time.
Okay, so top three musical artists right now. Maybe we'll do one from right now. Masego. I don't know if you've ever heard him.
I haven't.
Mm-mm. He's like a funk, new jazz kind of R&B artist.
Okay.
That just has all the vibes. And so if I'm trying to relax, have myself a good time and listen to something that just also has just got tons of swagger to it in a weird way that I'm not, that you're not really prepared for, I throw that on. So
how
love
do you
me
spell mas- that?
M-A-S-E-G-O.
A-S-E-G-O. Masego. Yeah.
He mainly plays like the saxophone and then has these silky smooth vocals over, it's like, what do they call it? Like new age jazz funk with an R&B vibe to it. So
synth
weird.
Wave, right?
Yeah. So good.
Okay, Masego. All right, we'll have to look.
And then
I'll have to look into that.
If I'm gonna throw it way back, I love the old like Lil Wayne era. He was probably the funnest person I've ever seen live. He came to Utah last year, mm-hmm. and it was insane. Probably the best concert. It's right up. Actually, Bruno Mars has to be up there with one of the best concerts I've ever been at. And I had no business being there. Like, my little sisters invited me and I showed up and didn't realize how much. This is like 10 years ago, Bruno Mars. Maybe 15 years ago, you could get tickets for $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, who is this guy?
Like, yeah. Insanely
talented.
Talented
singer for
Ridiculously
sure.
Ridiculously talented. But I'll say, so we'll go Masego. I love me some Lil Wayne. I do like Bruno Mars, but he doesn't make the top three. And then I'm going to put T-Pain on there. He is underrated, and I'll die on that hill. That's probably another unpopular opinion. He's probably the most underrated artist that's been out, period.
Well, he caught a lot of hate.
Chelsea mentioned T-Pain.
He caught a lot of hate because of the auto-tune.
She got that from me.
Yeah, he kind of took the auto tune and really ran with it. And at the time, it was just a lot of hate for people using auto tune.
Actually, you know? Created it, right? So,
did he? I don't even know, but he
yeah. So
he doesn't need it though. That's the funny thing. He's a great singer, you know.
So
but I guess
you know, he was one. I didn't know I loved him until we again went to a concert, and he does it. All of his sets are like 30 songs deep. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, I'm 18 to 20 songs in. I'm like, I know every lyric of every one of these songs, and it's my childhood now. I don't know. I didn't know that until you actually witness it. And you're like, I do know 30 T-Pain songs, word for word, verbatim. And you do too, because they were all over the radio.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm going to appreciate it for what it is. Let me just like it. So
I kind of love that he's having Meghan Trainor is like, yanking him back into the spotlight because she feels the same way you do. So there, and he deserves it. Absolutely.
He's one. If there's a concert, it's not going to be expensive. You need to go. It's a blast. Like you have no, like you're not ready for how much work he puts into it. So
that's so awesome.
All right.
I'll have to keep my eye out. Okay. What is a movie or TV show that you can watch over and over?
The new Spider-Man, like the digital one,
the Spider-Verse ones.
They're so Miles good.
Morales into the Spider-Verse. They're
stupid good. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I like emotionally as a kid, I love it. As a parent, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love those. So both of those, I was devastated that there's a part two, and I'm thrilled for it coming out next year.
I think I yelled at the TV. Oh, I think I did.
We're in the theater like, no!
I got a confession. I haven't seen the second one. I loved the first one. The first one was groundbreaking.
The second one? I've never
seen animation like that before. It was so good.
Well, and the second one, the animation gets even more creative, and it's stunning. It's
beautiful.
It's stunning. It really is.
So that I also love Jake Johnson.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Jake Johnson, who plays the old, chubby Peter Parker. He's just, we got a delay in the call here. So I'm like, you go, and then you go. But anyway, continue.
So that one's a really good one. I love those. And you know how it is. We've got a TV in the minivan, so that I probably watched that, listened to it like 50 times, watched it three times max. And so that's one. And then random movie, like, have you ever heard of Chronicle?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
It's such a weird and stupid movie, and I just like it. I don't know why. The story is weird. It doesn't make any sense, and it ends in a negative. Oh. Like, I like movies that don't end happy.
Okay.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Why Bedford?
Because then I go back to my life, and I'm like, at least it's not that sometimes.
All right, this is good. Yeah,
my life is awesome. That sucks.
Chronicle, it's something where the teenagers find some magical artifact, and it gives them powers or something like that, right? Okay, 2012.
Yeah, it's so weird. And I will go back to it every, two or three years, and, half the time I have to look up what the name of it is. Because we have this big old DVD case with 100 DVDs, and I can't even remember the name. What's the movie with the kids with the powers? And I'll pull it up and find it. And I just that movie for some reason.
I love that you love it, but that it's peripheral, and
remember it somewhere in here.
And every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, I do like this. I don't know why, but it's
just because you can.
That movie for me is Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh yeah.
I love that movie. It's fun. The music is cool.
There's no substance looking at his
chiseled frame. You know what I mean? He's looking good. Anyway, not me, just checking out Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay. tell us about one of your everyday pet peeves.
Ooh, biggest pet peeve. We moved in a house with a lot of wood. I absolutely hate stepping on, and I have 5 kids. So stepping on crumbs on a wood floor.
I can feel it now.
Every day.
I wear socks for that reason.
And they press, press into the bottom of your feet. Yes. That is such a good answer.
Or if you step on them with socks on and they just travel with you now.
Well, then you don't feel them as well, though.
But then you're going to find them with bare feet later.
Maybe. Yeah.
I wear Crocs in my house at all times now.
Crocs. But then when it is on your foot, you go to swat it. You can never get it the first time, right? Swat, miss. It's still there. Swat, miss. You get it off, but then you step on another one immediately.
Oh, it doesn't come in singles at my house. It's like, who took a Costco muffin, crinkled it up on the floor, and then I happen to step on a whole Costco muffin barefoot.
Oh.
And it's always right after you vacuum too, right? You're like, nope, this isn't going to happen for a while. And then
I mopped my floor on Saturday for probably the first time in 2 months. Don't tell anybody I went that long. And then somebody broke a pen and tracked the ink all over the newly mopped floor. And I was like, I need to. It's fine.
That's a particularly gross one. Okay.
It's not gross. It's just messy. Like, it's isn't just
the most kid expected thing to have happen.
Yes.
My floor is perfect. What could you do to destroy it in almost a permanent fashion right now?
Yep. And I purposefully didn't mop it for 6 weeks because I'm like, there's kids. It's like we'd. And then anyway, yes, that is a universal rule.
Causation. So,
when something becomes pristine, be prepared for it to be not pristine.
Quickly.
Are you a reader?
Yes.
All right.
I'm an Audible.
Hey, that counts. I call them ear reads. I read with my ears and my eyeballs all the time. I can never get enough. But what is one or two of your very favorite books?
My favorite book is The Alchemist.
Okay.
And that's what Chelsea said. Oh, she said that one too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not fair. Actually, no, she probably is the person that told me to read it. Now I think about it. But it just, love hearing a story about a guy who goes through trying to find their way and personal legend in life. And then at the same time, just finds ways to make lemonade out of lemons over and over and over again. And I think that aligns so well with just life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we all get stupid deals and, you know, stuff that doesn't work out the way we want to, and we just got to make it work or not. So,
yeah, that lesson of emotional resilience and positivity is huge. That's awesome.
In my defense, I read the book like 4 times a year. Chelsea has only read it like once. So,
ever. So you win. You win.
So it is. It's more favorite for me than it is for her.
What is a just for fun read?
I don't really read just for fun.
You're too busy golfing and listen to T-Pain.
Like, some golf tips and like how do you set your wrist? And
I love it.
I read just to get the brain going because I think that's really good. But I don't read just for fun. It's because I don't think it's fun, honestly.
Hey, that's fair. If it's not an escape for you, like I can get sucked into a book and the whole world disappears. But that's not how it is for everybody. So.
Yeah, no, I'm always trying to finish it. I'm like, where? How far is this?
Yeah. How many more pages do I have before I'm done? Like, like the book, it's like, how much longer is this going to take? Yeah.
Like, anyway. I just finished Life of Pi.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, it's a 9-hour audible. And the whole time, like, there are times where I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And then I would check, and I'm like, I'm on chapter 44 of 90 or 100 or something like that. And they're short chapters, but it was like, I'm never going to finish this thing.
Some of my favorite audiobooks are more than 60 hours.
I can't do it.
And those are series where like 5, 6, 7 books are each that long. So
yeah,
we're wired a little different. That's okay.
That would take me like 5 months.
Yeah.
See, and for me, it helps with the tedium of everyday tasks. Like, okay, I have to mop the floor. I need to scrub the toilets. I need to fold the laundry. And it allows my brain to be engaged in something while my body and my hands are doing things that need to be done. So that's why I love them.
What blows my mind about those books is someone put the studio time in. The guy that's reading the book, not only is there 80 hours of audio, that's 80 hours of edited, cut, you know, selected.
There's probably the 10 to 20 hours cut. Yeah, it's crazy.
It goes into that.
All the different takes. The one time they deleted a file and was like, oh, I got to do 35 hours.
That was 8 hours.
Okay, so then let's say we're holding an epic feast in your honor. What food is on the table?
Oh, we're going smoked everything. I want smoked cow. I want smoked pig. We're going smoked turkey on that bad boy.
Smoked turkey, yes.
Just all of it. We have a Traeger.
Brisket.
Yeah. All of it. Ribs, brisket. I love me some
smoked
meats.
So it sounds like you smoke your own meat at home then?
Yes. Yes, I do. And we love it and it's so much fun.
Yes. I do. All right.
Have you ever smoked your own cheese?
No, because I'm lactose, but I heard it's really good and I wanted to try it anyway.
Just prepare. Be prepared.
Just tell Chelsea ahead of time, like, hey, look, the night's ruined.
I was going to say, like, smoked Gouda cheese is like one of my very favorite things, but you better not.
For some people, that's a 24-hour experience.
It is.
You have to decide.
Yeah, it's.
All right.
If you could spend a whole day with any one person, real or fictional, alive, dead, who would it be and why?
Ooh, a whole day, any person, alive, dead, and why? That one, I wonder. I'm always worried because you always hear the, like, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah.
right? So I'm like, who am I okay with meeting? And if they suck, that's okay. Like, I think it would be really, really fun to hang out with Steph Curry. Yeah. I love basketball. I love the way that he approaches the game. And I think it would be super, like, well, anytime we go to a basketball game, I actually show up hours early, depending on who the shooters are, because I just love to watch them do the thing. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I want it to be in the middle of the season. I want to go to practice. And I don't even care if we're talking. I just want to watch the workout. So I think that's probably who I'd pick. And then if we're not friends, that's okay.
Like, yeah. You still got a really cool experience out of it.
I got to see the sweet experience. I got to see like a really good person work on their craft. And it's really cool. And maybe another person would be Tony Finau. He's a golfer.
I don't know who that is. Okay.
Golfer.
Oh. Yeah. And I've actually met him in real life. So I do know that I like him. and so I do think he'd be super cool to watch again, do all of his things. So he's a Utah golfer that actually was in the Masters, didn't do very well, but had a chance to hit a bucket of balls with him one time, and he's really, really cool. And that's the only time I've been able to say, like, me and this professional athlete are doing their thing at the same time. I wouldn't say together, but we're at the same time.
Was that intimidating, or did you just approach it like, I'm just here to have a good time?
So it was an accident, honestly. So I go in for golf lessons last year, and we have this in Utah. We have this facility that's connected to BYU. And so only BYU golfers and or their friends can go there. Well, it just rained and actually hailed a little bit. I call my coach. I'm like, are we having lessons still? He's like, yeah. So I show up, and there's one other person there, and it's Tony Finau. And I'm like, he's the number 11th golfer in the world right now. You know,
that's so
I get out of my car, and he's like, I'm Tony. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes, you are. Uh-huh.
I know who you are, Mitch, too. Yeah. Will you sign my golf ball?
Oh, he totally would have. But, you know, he's like getting ready for the European Open. And he's just putting. And he comes up to me. He's like, oh, I'm just here. It's like, who are you here with? And I was like, oh, I'm with my coach. And he goes and does his thing. He sees us go over to hit a couple balls. And he's like, you mind if I hit with you? And I'm like, no.
You're shaking. You're like, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't.
If I shank this, I'm going to hurt someone worth millions. So,
I have never met somebody super famous that I admired. And I don't really want to, because I think I would forget how to speak. Maybe forget how to swallow my spit. I'm like, I don't. I admire that you just went forward. I think that's awesome.
I didn't even have a choice, honestly. That's true. There was three people there. Anything other than yes was the wrong answer.
There was no.
You didn't, sir.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Like, it's not like I could hide anywhere. You know, like we.
Yeah.
There was no ducking out. No, that's true.
Yeah. As someone who's been in music, it's like, you know who Hans Zimmer is? He's like the composer. If I'm playing the piano and Hans walks in and I'm like, oh boy. He's like, do you mind if I sit with you for a little bit? I'm like, you don't want to listen to me play the piano, man.
Yeah, music is Kate's sports. Yeah.
Same. I'm trying to relate. I mean, I play piano, I play guitar, but, you know, as a composer and someone who's done a little bit of writing, that would just be so intimidating. If one of the world's best just showed up out of the blue, you know, so.
I think we forget, though, that a lot of times these guys are just like regular guys.
They're just dudes.
Super good at one thing.
Yeah. And,
like, that's the kind of vibe afterwards. It was like, oh, he really is just a normal dude. Super.
Yeah.
He was like, how do you, like, I'm glad you like golf, and you could tell I'm brand new. So he didn't give me any pointers or anything like that. And he's
like, your hands are backwards.
Set himself up. Oh, I know, right. He purposely set himself up in front of me so that while he's swinging, he knows that he knows and I know that he can't see my swing and judge it. And I'm like, I love that. Thank you for doing that.
That's honestly super considerate.
Plus, you can watch him and watch his form and see what he's doing, you know, on the other side of things.
Yep. And maybe. He can't see me. Yeah. And he did that on purpose, and I appreciate it. So.
I love that you bring up that we should remember that most of the time these people are just everyday people. That's one of the points of this podcast, is to remind us we all have so much more in common than that we just don't take the time to notice it or remember it. And that's what we're trying to do here. So yeah. I love that you brought that up.
Well, I'm sure like with your podcast and with the platform that Chelsea has built, people have recognized you and know who you are. And sometimes they're like, you're incredible. You're like, actually, I'm a really normal person that also is good at what I do. Like,
it's weird.
One of our guests had a grandson, and she's like, yeah, he asked me how many millions of dollars do these podcasters make? And we're both like, okay.
None. Zero. Zero so far.
I mean, yeah.
That is funny.
I'm a YouTuber.
I forgot that we got asked that. That's funny.
Yeah. So then, what is your most useless talent?
Most useless talent?
Something you're great at that serves no purpose whatsoever.
What is something that I'm good at that has no... I'm... You know what? I'm really good at... How do I even explain this?
That's the perfect way to start.
I'm really good at figuring out the way to mow the lawn to make it feel the way I want it to. And it's like...
I like get you.
Your mow track, the way that you go about that.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely am... I feel like I'm pretty good at figuring out... I can look at a lawn and be like, this is how I want to do it. And I haven't gotten to the stage where I'm like getting the different kind of waves. I've explored what that would take, and I'm on the edge. But
you can overdo it, though. Don't overdo it. Oh, you know what I mean?
But I want to.
But I want
to. You ever see anyone with the lines? And you're like...
Yes, like it's like the checkerboard lines, and it's all...
The hatches.
Oh, yeah. That maybe Dance Dance Revolution.
The guy was doing squigglies. Like this, and then the next line, opposite direction. So the whole yard was like a big loading screen of some kind.
That makes me so happy.
I was like, and this is extra time, and I personally don't care for the look. I like a good, clean, straight.
That person is 100% retired, Kate. They don't have anything else that they need to do.
I don't know. They're making TikToks, so probably not.
Maybe. Maybe.
But anyway.
Have you seen those lawn care TikToks? Those go hard.
And pick a yard for free, and they're like, I want to do your yard.
Yeah.
Can I do your yard?
And they're like, theoretically.
Oh, yeah.
Theoretically.
And
they
do a great job. Yeah. Power washing and the blow, everything. Oh, yeah,
we bought an old house several years ago, and we're like having to, like, it was neglected for like decades. And so we can bring it back a little at a time. The house is in great shape, but the yard. to my husband's OCD, like he wants the straight lines and the hatches, and it's making him crazy. So I feel that.
Yeah, we let our 12-year-old mow the lawn last year, and I was like,
"Us
praying,
too,
praying for you, brother." sending warmth your way. It looks so good. Thank you.
No, Chesley straight up made Maverick go out and. He's like, you missed this and this and this and this line. Like, so, yeah, they got to learn.
Don't waste your time.
We did that same thing.
Oh. What is something that you're interested in that maybe would surprise people who know you?
Something that I'm interested in that would surprise people who know me. Is there
a type of music or pop culture thing or historical thing?
I am a random fan. I guess it depends on how well you know me. 95% of the people, when they hear that I actually really, really love like Red Hot Chili Peppers
and
old rock music, they're like, wait, Bedford? I'm like, because I'm a big hip hop head. I love the old stuff. Love even the new stuff. But then like, I'll be on a run and I want to listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers and nothing else.
That is a very different vibe than what you were talking about earlier. Yeah. So.
Oh, 100%. So I love listening to smooth, slow songs when I run. And that is not the vibe that people think I'm listening to when I'm on a treadmill at 8.5. So.
I'm a new runner. Like I'm just starting to love it in the last year and a half. And I'm slow as molasses, but I am having a great time.
You and me both. You and me both.
You listen to Carly when you run.
I just like I have a lift and a running playlist that I just am constantly adding random stuff to. So it's
music.
It's a smattering. Yeah.
A smattering. Mm-hmm. Smattering. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're like me, the reason why I switched to like kind of smoother, slower stuff, just a little bit slower, right? Because some Red Hot Chili Peppers is not slow.
Yeah,
right.
Picks up a little.
Is I tend to run to the beat, and so if it's too fast, I get tuckered out.
You'll keep going.
Why is the air not fully coming into my lungs anymore? Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So give me like Stadium Arcadium and I could go for hours. Just
forever.
Oh, yeah.
In slow motion. Yes.
Nice and relaxed, big old strides.
Cade, that will now be a reel for the Quirk Stop podcast. I'm going
to
take
running to
have Enya. You on my treadmill. Yeah, running to Enya. So
I will shoot it.
Perfect.
Come in.
Come over here. We'll meet up in Malad, Idaho and get a pizza or something.
There you go. I actually just moved my treadmill. It's been in my basement for the last 2 years where I had less than a finger width of
I was
going to
say, I couldn't run on your treadmill.
I'd be like, I couldn't have my top knot. I had to pull my hair all the way back. I couldn't use my incline. If I got too excited, I'm like, I just moved it upstairs yesterday, and I'm very excited.
That must have been quite the ordeal. I'd be on there like Quasimodo. Like,
yes, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Do not. I didn't measure before I took it down there, so do not recommend.
0 out of 10.
Benchmark running.
Okay. We'll hop into our last couple questions here. How would you or do you approach conversations about disputed or charged topics in order to keep them respectful and constructive?
Probably. I like to ask a lot of questions, I think. And how do you keep it without? You've got to crack a joke or two and just make sure that you clarify.
Test the waters.
Like, right? Honestly, I think a lot of the tough conversations that I've ever had with people that I really do care about is I'll let them right off the bat know that, look, whatever happens after this conversation, we've got to be best friends. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I love you, you love me. If we really want to be friends, then we could talk about anything, but I'm going to lead with that. Then we'll joke and we'll have a good conversation and then whatever happens, happens. But
yeah.
I just, sometimes you got to clarify, like, look, the goal is to be cool after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't have to agree with you and we could go back and forth forever. But if we're still friends, then we won, you know?
I love that. So you set an expectation before ever having the conversation. I love that you said you ask a lot of questions because that shows you're listening and you're interested in what the other person thinks and feels, even if you know like your mind is not going to change or your perspective is not going to change. You can still show that interest and know that person better. So I love those two things. Okay. Our last question. What is a difficulty or trial that you've experienced that taught you a lot? And what is it that you learned from it?
Okay. So I think one difficulty that we went through, has it been 8 years ago is my heart stopped while I was at the gym. Ooh. And
that's
so
scary.
Oh, it was not a good time. So, you know, I'm just barely getting to the gym. I'm warming up. And next thing I know, I just felt pain in my chest and I took a knee and I'm waking up, in a hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, obviously you're a little disconcerted. You don't know what's going on. For the longest time, even for like 8 months afterwards, I didn't like being by myself because it was like, well, what if it stops again? You know, there happened to be a doctor that was able to get me kicked up and you know, fired up. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned from that experience is that, like, if it doesn't kill you and you survive, like, you will get better. And so, through life, we've had a tons of ups and downs. We've won some, we've lost others. And a lot of times, 3 or 4 years later, we're stronger for it. And quite frankly, we have the ability to laugh at it. And you don't think of that perspective when you're going through that stuff, when you're going through whatever. And so, like, for me, it's been a lot of, you know, when trials come along, they do, like, just try to remember, like, okay, in 2 years, if I get through, which I will, we're going to chuckle about this and there's going to be something that I've learned and grown and trying to take that perspective now rather than waiting for 2 or 3 years after it's all gone and life is all gravy. And so Right. That's kind of the thing I try to do now. And that, I learned that from literally dying and then being like, I'm alive. And it's great. So
do yeah. they know huh. what made your heart stop?
No. So I had it like, I did the whole like Rocky test where they had me connected to a bunch of things, running on a treadmill. Yeah. They kind of think it was like a freak accident where maybe I had a slight cold and my heart rate changed while I was warming up, and it all just worked out to where I died. and so they kind of got to a point where the doctor was like, well, if it happens again, let me know. And I'm like,
okay, brother.
If you're not reading about me in the obituary, then I will.
Oh my gosh. So. I love that though, that just trusting that whatever you're going through, there's another side of it, and you're going to come out. You're going to come out on the yeah. other side of it.
And if you don't, it doesn't matter. So like don't put the extra weight of everything on it. Just kind of work through it, I guess.
Yeah. You might come out like Ace Ventura coming out of a rhino, but you're going to make it out.
Is this how we're ending, Cade? Is this how we're ending?
Like Ace for some reason, that's the imagery that came into my brain.
Bedford, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You have been an absolute delight.
Thank you.
It's been a good time, man. Thanks you so much. I know awesome. It kind of came out of the blue, as these things do, but I'm glad to have both you and Chelsea on, and we appreciate your time. So for those of you out there listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and send us your people. If you have people, if you have friends, family, grandparents, a dog, whatever, email us. We want to talk to them.
Tricky.
Anything you want to add, Carly, at the end of all things?
Just go forth and quirk it.
Go forth and quirk it.